This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Wong Xiaoning. You're listening to Pressing Matters Right Now, the show that goes behind the headlines, where we speak to members of the press on their stories. Joining us today is Mohsin Abdullah, contributing editor at The Edge. Welcome to the show. Mohsin, it's going to be politics back-to-back for our discussion today, and it's your favourite topic, right? So, and there's never a dull moment in Malaysian politics. So let's start with Undi 18. I mean, to me, it's a proud moment for Malaysia, where there was bipartisan support for the bill. But what are your thoughts on Undi 18?
My thoughts on Undi 18? Yeah, it's good. It's good. I go along with this move, which has already been made to make our voters younger. But as I've written in my latest column, first time voters, assuming the GE15 would be 4 years, 5 years from now, meaning these people are now 14 years old.
Yeah, or 15, right? 14 to 15. They're all going to the polling booth for the first time.
Yeah. The thing that strikes me is, how would the political parties, or rather, what would the political parties do, you know, to convince this 13-year-old, 14-year-old, when they turn 18, vote for me, you know, vote for them, right? What would they do now? I mean, it's really a difficult thing, as I said. Even if I put myself in their shoes, what would I do? And what promises do I make to this 13-year-old?
Now, and also the way you message it, right?
Exactly.
Because traditionally, there's a lot of campaigning. But for the 14, 13-year-old, I don't see them going for campaigns, right? So would it be a more social media engagement kind of thing?
Yes, social media, definitely. Definitely, that's going on. But what do you say? What message do you put out, you know? Just joking with friends and all that, you know, this is just a light thing. Do I promise them more international concerts? You know, better games arcade or cheaper sneakers, you know, just lightly, you know. It's not to say that our 13 are into that. They are into that, but that's not the thing that we promised them, you know. But still, what do you tell them? That is a very odd thing. So from what I gather with some analysts and all that, the campaigning by the political parties would go to this 13-year-old and all that now, at present, would go through the parents. Yeah, children will tend to follow the parents. Or like, you know, parents have a heavy influence. Most parents have heavy influence on their kids, whatever their parents like. You know, even now, you know, when you talk to even before this Undi 18 thing, you talk to some kids, and do you like this party? They say no, because their parents don't like. So every day during dinner or lunch and all that, the parents, the husband and wife will talk about this fellow is no good, that fellow is no good. The kids listen and they go into it. Because my father said it, it must be the truth, you know. So based on that, I would say political parties will go through the parents, convince them nicely, and the rest, you do the rest for me, that kind of thing.
So in other words, the political parties, both Pakatan and also UMNO or PAS, will probably just continue to campaign at the parents, right, in that case?
Yeah, as I said, yeah.
Do you think
later, when these people are really, when election comes nearer, then yeah, maybe you can, they would, as I said, they would, you know, narrow it down to 18-year-old, okay, for your future I'll do this. But for now, 13-year-old, nothing much we can do. Not interested also when you talk about heavy stuff. Nobody's interested in that, the kids.
But aside from this, do you think it is a wise thing to do by Pakatan Harapan to actually have this bill passed?
Yeah, everybody is saying, even many analysts are saying, Pakatan tend to lose more because of this. But yet they do it. They must have done their own calculation. You know, I mean, you got to give that to them, definitely. And as for doing this, I suppose it's the right thing to do because only a handful of countries around the world are still maintaining 21 years old as the minimum age and all that. Yeah, even in ASEAN, in Southeast Asia, I think it's only Singapore. You know, the other countries, 17, 18, mostly 18. So I suppose that's the way forward. That's the way forward, yeah.
What about some of the political commentators who say that PAS has the most to gain from this? Do you think this is the case?
Yes and no. Because of late, or not of late, yeah, I can say of late, as, you know, PAS definitely are targeting Malay, the Malay votes, mostly Malay votes. So they're going to use religion. They have been using religion all the while. And so there's this belief among the PAS leadership that the youngsters, the Malay youngsters, who are now more religiously inclined, will vote for them for the sake of the afterlife, you know, that's that kind of thing. But at the same time, there are youngsters who don't like all this. It's not that they don't like the religion, but they see PAS as a hardline thing, you know. It's not, it's a hardline outfit. Meaning you can't do this, you can't do that. Youngsters don't like that. Even Malays and all that. I'm not talking, yeah. Especially urban. But then urban is also divided into, you know, into different groups of urban. What kind of urban are you, you know? Upbringing and all that. But that's the thing. There are people who will go for this. There are youngsters who are afraid. That's why this accusation of PAS being Taliban, which they have denied so many times. That's why it's crop up. And at times you can't blame people for accusing them. The way they act, the way the statements that they make, it gives you an impression of you're going the other way.
Mm.
Yeah.
What about outlier parties like Party Socialist Malaysia? Because we've seen this growing socialist movement in the West, right? Especially in the US. Do you see youth being attracted to this?
Not in Malaysia. I mean, PSM, I mean, socialist parties here, I've always respected them, you know, for their commitment, for their drive, you know, despite their obstacles, you know. But they still go on and on because they have this passion for
it. Yeah, they're very committed to their cause.
Exactly.
Right?
In Malaysia, where the society, our society is that young or old, you know, they've been conditioned to say that, especially among Malays, yeah. Socialist equals communist. Communist equals you don't believe in God, that's it. So anything that people don't believe in God, I don't want to be associated with that kind of thing. No matter if you've got Malays, Islam people in the Socialist Party as well, but then that's the perception, rightly or wrongly. So that's a big drawback for these people.
And let's move on to PAS support for Tun Mahathir. Now, they've come out to openly support Tun M to complete his full term as Prime Minister. And in full dramatic fashion, other PAS members have said that if Tun M vacates his post earlier, the country will be plunged into instability. But seriously, why is PAS showing support for Tun M? Especially when Hadi and Tun M are not known to have the best of relationships.
Yes, definitely for their own survival. As it is, as I see it, and I think a few analysts would agree, that PAS is trying to pit the forces of the people from Anwar's camp against Tun Mahathir. Right? So you in Malay it's called batu api lah, you know. You know, you will rub here and rub there and all that, so that you drive a wedge
Between everybody, them. Yes.
Yeah, that's one. And at the same time, Hadi made it clearly that he supports Mahathir, but I'm not on the same page with Azmin. How do you read that, you know? So, that's one. And it's ironic, like, as I said, you know, because there are so many people who say if there's one strong leader who can put PAS in his place, it would be Mahathir. And Mahathir is always, like you said, he has never agreed with the way PAS look at Islam. Now, he has got his own progressive and all that, and he sees PAS as going backwards and extreme and all that. Yeah. So you have here a PAS president and the whole party definitely supporting your worst enemy, I would say. So it's obviously, they think they have their own, they can work things out by doing this. Because I'm saying this because there is an opinion from a long time bus watcher, Sayuti Omar. I always regard him as an authority as far as talking about bus is concerned. He said there might be some thinking among the bus people that with Mahathir leading Pakatan, it's easier to tackle that rather than an Anwar-led Pakatan. That is an opinion, of course, and it is debatable. But maybe, but then I would say, because they would paint Mahathir as I see it, they would paint Mahathir as anti-Islam and all that.
But does this also then mean that in many ways, PAS appears to be more fearful of the Anwar as a prime minister than Tun M?
Yeah, there's some people are saying that. And there are also people who tells me that Hadi, for whatever reason, has never liked Anwar Ibrahim, even during their Abim days. They both were in Abim and all that. Why? There are so many versions to it, which I don't think right for me to say it here. You know, there are so many things. So they say they have never seen eye to eye and all that. That's one of the reasons. But that is narrowing it to Hadi alone. So it's not fair to say that, you know. But it's anybody's guess, I suppose, then whether they fear Anwar more than Mahathir. As I see it, Mahathir is a strong leader who can cause them a lot of problems.
Yeah, he doesn't mince his words, does he?
Exactly.
Okay, we are speaking to Mohsin Abdullah, contributing editor at The Edge. After this, UMNO and PAS. Besties for life or just for the moment? Stay tuned to The Morning Run, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoning. You're listening to Pressing Matters, the show that goes behind the headlines where we speak to members of the press on their stories. Today, we're speaking to Mohsin Abdullah, contributing editor at The Edge. Earlier on the show, we were talking about Undi 18 and who has the most to gain from this bill. Now, Mohsin, can we move on to this UMNO PAS charter, which has kind of gotten everyone's attention, although actually nothing has really been signed yet, right? Because I think they're only looking to do something on the 14th of September.
That's right, yeah.
So in your recent column in The Edge, you highlighted that, you know, they're not the best of mates in the past, right? They've had a checkered history. I mean, although PAS and UMNO have been partners in a coalition, I think in the 70s, and also, if I'm not wrong, PAS had its origins in UMNO in the 40s. Now, so not the best of mates, but Hadi and his UMNO counterpart, Dato' Sri Syed Hamidi, look to be the new partners. Do you think this is just because they want to win the next elections and that this is enough to overcome their differences?
Yes, they want to win. You
know? And that's it. That's the reason for
the
charter.
They want to win and they want to rule. Then that's when the problem starts, as I see it. You know, who leads who? The past members say they want it. They must be in the forefront. At this point of time, everybody is quiet about it. Right?
But they did say at the last past conference, right?
Yeah, they say it out in the open. They want it. UMNO has not responded. You know, they said, probably they're saying behind the scenes, saying, we'll take care of this first. We topple the PH, then we'll deal about this. Yeah, maybe. So that's the thing. I'm not trying to be some people would say, prophet of doom, you know, saying all that. But then that's the reality. Both parties knows that. Right? But then they're focusing on toppling the Pakatan Harapan government next
that's
election.
That's the priority above everything
right.
else.
And they're even talking about snap elections.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So that's the thing that they want to do is just to bring down this government and we'll deal with the problems later.
But I can already see some of the problems, right? One of which is in terms of seats, right? Constituents. Yep. Fine, if you're an incumbent, I think it's understood you continue to try for re-elections at that constituent. But what happens in seats where previously, Pakatan Harapan won that seat, but your combined majority, that is UMNO and PAS, you have a combined majority which is higher than the Pakatan MP at the moment. Who's going to be the MP? Or who's going to run in that constituency?
That's right. Obviously, PAS and UMNO both say they're going to win that. Based on this when the number of votes you get, the number of votes I get, you combine it, you're going to win it.
Yeah. But who's going to be the...
Yeah. But first thing first, whether that's is that a reality? A reality? Yeah, chances are yes. You know, on paper, you're going to win it. But according to, which I agree, according to Azlan Zainal, he's the CEO of Ilham Center Research Outfit, he says it's not that simple. Different location, different constituency, different type of people, voters, all that must be taken into consideration. It's not like, he loves to use this phrase, it's not like transferring money into your account, you know, that kind of thing. So, and based on issues of the day, then, when the elections are being held. So that's one. Back to your question, who will be the candidate? And obviously, both parties will say,
I want to be the one,
exactly.
Yeah.
That's when the thing will start. Maybe they can work it out, you know, like, you know, go back to that, we take care of this enemy first, you know. But then, it's a sticky situation which they got to face. They are not saying it out, but they know that it's a problem, then they got to face it. Who to feel. You see, there was this report recently, I think online, I think, on a news portal said that everything has been agreed. PAS and UMNO will split it 50-50 of all seats, right? Then they came out to deny. They said, no, nothing has been agreed. What does that show?
Yeah, because I can imagine that will also make their own respective party members unhappy, right?
Exactly. That's when they say, no. What's the point of having this thing? Of this what they call this? This pact, right? Mm. When we are supposed to be the follower, not the leader and all that. So PAS have got their own ways of doing this, right? UMNO, yes, they say they are Muslims as well. So they should go along that Quran, you follow the Quran, blah, 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 blah. But UMNO will need to convince MCA and MIC and, you know, so that you can win. It's not easy. It's not an easy thing to do. So by agreeing with PAS, you got to follow PAS. But then at the same time, you got to take care of your
coalition partners.
Yeah. But it's not as bad as it was for them before GE14. Now, there are many people saying, I mean, to put it bluntly, you know, we don't care about the non-Malay votes. We got a solid Malay support. It's enough for us. You know, but yeah, based on the majority, the numbers of the Malay voters, which keep on increasing, what more with the Undi 18 thing, and they are very confident. You know, they're saying they can do it.
So this charter, in a way, also then just reinforces the notion that politics in Malaysia has become so race institutionalized.
Yeah, it's always
right?
been about race. That's the sad part of it. You know, easiest way to get votes. You know, I'm saying hey, there's always be a boogeyman. Yeah, support me. If not, you'll be swallowed, you'll be a slave, you know, in your own country, that kind of stuff. And it works among the old, among the young. It's a sad thing. Although there are people who say no, you know, but obviously the political parties believe that it's a workable formula. That's why they keep on harping on it.
Okay, then let's move on to the other spat, which is between Anwar and Azmin. They both have existed. Team Azmin and Team Anwar, like you say, they have always existed, right? Their relationship has never been cordial. And this is as per your column last week. Now, but at this rate, no one is going to win if the fight just continues, right?
Yeah. As I said, both stand to lose big time, you know. Yeah, as far as they've always fought, the teams have always been there, but they've always fought. Yeah, I don't know what went wrong between them. They started off well. Yeah, when Anwar was in trouble in 1998, Azmin stood by him and all that. So along the way, something happened and suddenly what we're having now, and it's getting worse. And
it's a very public fight now.
Exactly, they're out in the open. And they're going to lose big time, as I said. To patch up, yeah, you talk to some people in PKR, I don't know whether they say this out of optimism, out of more of hope or what, but they say they can see these two patching up for the sake of whatever sake.
For the party.
For the party or for themselves, for their own political career and all that. But then it's a as it is as we talk, you know, the situation is bad. Yeah, it's as if like one will have to make way or made to make way, that kind of thing.
It's like there can only be one winner.
Exactly. Yeah.
We've been speaking to Mohsin Abdullah, contributing editor at The Edge. That's all we have on Pressing Matters today on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.